60 pages of it.
What book are you?
It's funny.
What?
What book?
Oh, did you bring it?
And we're looking at find out who's normal and who's not. A proven system to quickly assess anyone's emotional stability by David J. Lieberman, PhD.
Yeah, so far it's mostly pretty obvious stuff.
Yeah, I mean, everything in there. It's just, it's cute. It's a quick little funny read.
We're here with Nick. Nick was on the show, I don't know, a year ago?
Yes, back when my
virgin.
It was actually a year ago, and my virgin taste buds have grown a little bit.
Sweet.
A little bit. 22 strong now instead of 21, so.
There you go. You've got that youth factor.
Yes, the youth factor of ignorance and just, this tastes good. This tastes very good.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, we talked about it a little
well,
bit.
I apologize.
no, this tastes good is right. See, this tastes well, that doesn't...
Yeah, you're right. Maybe I was already dipping into the glasses before I came over, for all you know.
Grab one of those batteries off the charger over there. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I talked about it when we did D&D on Monday. I kind of, I read your Twitter, and you get sometimes passionate about things that I don't really get passionate about. But I appreciate that, because it's been so long since...
What
did you felt
passion.
Anything?
That, well, yeah, exactly. You
what
know.
Are we talking about? Are we talking about the
your
moment
youth.
Outside? When we
yeah,
were,
yeah.
I forget.
Yours
what
and
was
JT's
the topic,
youth.
Though. Yeah, well, I can't remember what the topic was.
It was about...
it was rebelling
something,
against
yeah, something.
Yeah,
something about the government.
Yeah.
Something like that.
As always. It's always about the government.
But right. You've got... young kids, so
yes.
You must notice their passion for nonsense, even you know, even writ larger.
Yes, yeah, obsessions more so for princesses and Toy
trucks.
Story, and not so much trucks. He's out of trucks.
Oh, really?
He's into Toy Story, superheroes, and Star Wars.
Okay, well that's different than
so,
farm. Does he
Star
want to be a
Wars
farmer?
Is always good, though.
He doesn't play with his farm stuff anymore. Heather thinks, you know, once he gets outside and can play in the dirt some more, we'll all get back into his trucks and things. But
mm-hmm.
Last 2 or 3 months, it's all been superheroes and Star Wars and a little bit of Toy Story.
Huh. Going the sci-fi route, sci-fi fantasy.
He is.
Get him into Game of Thrones. It starts soon.
Yeah. Kid friendly.
Yeah, you know.
But as long
introduce
as...
him to boobs. He's already he knows boobs.
He's probably at the point where he's forgotten about the boobs.
But as long as he stays a Wars fan and not the Trekkie route.
No, wrong. Wrong. Star Trek
I knew that would get Greg going.
Star Trek is way better than Star Wars. Well.
Episodes 4 through 6.
Star Wars tells a better...
Just wait till Disney takes over. Well, they already did, but wait till they come out with the new Star Wars. It's probably going to be amazing.
I've heard that before. Star Wars has a very, you know, very Campbell-esque hero's journey thing, and in terms of sticking to that, especially the very first one,
mm-hmm.
it kind of nails it. But as far as a statement, I think that the newer Star Trek makes better like social statements about the world than Star Wars does, and it's more interesting
mm-hmm.
in that manner.
I don't watch them, so I don't know. I'm not going to argue.
Fair enough.
All right, so I got something here we can talk about the pre-show about backmasking. You know what backmasking is, right?
Inform me.
Hiding codes in music backwards. You know, like encrypting.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I was listening to a podcast and. It's not so much, how do I want to say it? Once you know what the backmask is, you almost can't unhear it. So I'm going to play an example of it. I'm not going to tell you what the encrypted phrase is. Supposedly encrypted phrase, right? And it's probably going to sound like gibberish to you. And I'm going to tell you and play it again, and it'll be so clear.
Are you going to be playing it
backwards? This is the audio version of pareidolia. This is not... This doesn't actually happen. I mean,
okay. No.
People don't actually put... I mean, there
messages.
Are cases where people do that for fun, but there's not like, you know, I
let,
love
let
Satan.
So this was in Freakonomics, and it was about you perceiving other people perceiving you type thing, like how important you are to other people type thing. And what the point they were making was, once you hear this, and once you have the knowledge, once you're an expert on this backmasking, you know, this particular one, it seems so obvious that if you were asked to predict how likely someone else was to hear that, you would rank it really high. You know, so that's kind of where they tied it in. But I think it's just fascinating how you hear it once you know what it is. So it's from Queen, so here is it forward.
Yeah.
So it's another one, Bites the Dust. Queuing it up here.
There was a ton of Queen that they said was for that reason.
Okay, so I took that and reversed it.
Okay.
So I didn't take it from any... No, this was me original. I took the original song and reversed it. So here is that same bit reversed.
Okay, I know...
Now, what is it supposed to be
I
saying?
I know what it's supposed to be saying, because I could hear what people would probably Sutton. Think. It's fun to smoke marijuana.
Oh, so you did hear it, see? Okay. See, when I first listened to this, I didn't hear it, right?
I definitely heard the thing that could sound like marijuana. So,
Nick, for you, you heard that. Now that you know what it is, listen, it's the same thing again.
Oh, yeah, now I'll hear it for sure. Yeah. But it's one of those things where... Yeah, once it just becomes obvious to you, you just place it and automatically it's what you're going to hear. The whole, I'm having loss of words right now.
The thing is that...
I can't even remember.
That was not the intention of...
No, it's. I'm not even talking about the intention. I'm talking about how I'm surprised you picked it out. Because when some people do, right? But when I listened to it the first time through, I didn't know what it was. And then, you know, they told me it, and so I can never go back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here's the first refrain.
This is the FedEx logo. You probably know this, Jeff. Do you know this?
I don't know about the FedEx logo.
Do you see anything interesting in it?
FedEx.
So between the E and the X, there's an arrow.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I was told that before, yeah.
Yeah. So that's one of those things that it's hard to unsee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, I know people say, you know, whenever I see the FedEx logo, all I see is the arrow. People showed it to me. It's like, okay, that's kind of neat. And then people are like, it is all I see now. I don't know.
So that was the second refrain. The first refrain is not nearly as clear. So that's the first refrain.
Marijuana?
Is that supposed to be the same thing?
No, it's just the same. It's the same refrain. It's just the first refrain, where the first refrain forward is more melodic, right? The first refrain forward sounds like this.
Well, it's just because the way that we hear things is when you turn things backwards. It messes with the way that you interpret things.
Yeah, and we're also trying to interpret it in a way that we can actually relate to it.
You're trying to find the pattern there that matches what you recognize and matches.
That whole Scrooby McGoober balls, where we're thinking too far into it that just has nothing to do with it at all.
It's a hyperactive, this would not be hyperactive, this is hyperactive pattern detection is what we're doing.
But this makes me think of Little Nicky, though.
I didn't mean to make any point of Queen was encoding stuff in. I was just saying how a lot of people who are playing along at home were, you know, like Nick, who didn't hear anything.
Uh-huh.
And then the second time, it was super clear, right? And every time they hear it from now on, it'll be super clear because in Freakonomics, you know, he made you an expert in this thing, right? So now, in these experiments, when you were tasked, how likely would someone else identify that, right? The people that have been made experts cast that upon their prediction and make it much higher. And this was all about that kind of... That's what the whole podcast was about. It was about that kind of psychology. It had nothing to do with the satanic phrases inside songs.
So it's just about when you reinforce something to somebody, they feel... Are they more likely to see it, but they're more likely to think other people will see it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, this is a case where, like, you can think of a lot of cases where subconsciously a person might lean towards more obvious type, you know, but this is one where, like, you sit there and think about it, you're like, it's consciously like yeah, it's like that, you know, like, it wouldn't be an, how do I want to say this? Like, you know, a lot of people can have unintentional bias, like, in certain things, right? But this one is almost like a conscious bias, right? Because when you hear it after you know what it is, it's so hard to put you in the mindset before you knew. It's at least for me it was, right? I can't think back to where Nick was 10 minutes ago. Like, I can't remember what it was like to not know it.
Even, this is also just reminds me of words that are misunderstood in songs, like Jimi Hendrix, Kiss.
Yeah, Kiss This Guy.
Kiss This Guy. It sounds like Kiss This Guy. And every time now I hear that, ever since I heard that, all I hear is like,
excuse me while I kiss this guy.
And it's just like, okay, Jimmy.
Which, you know.
You know what? Hey, it was the 60s, man.
I mean, that's actually kind of, that would not surprise me were Jimi Hendrix to be around today, if he were to do something like that, 'cause very counterculture, very, you know, kind of thing that he does. But that sort of thing, you know, you're an expert in something. When you know something, you perceive your expertise and your ability to discuss that expertise with them. I mean, the thing that comes to mind is when I'm talking to you about physics, Jeff, and I sometimes, you know, I get too far into it and your eyes start glazing over because it's stuff that I know, and I'm trying to give you the little, you know, the things, but I can't get you to the point. I can't get you from A to B. I'm already at point C.
Right.
I'm trying to get you from A to B, and yeah, and it's too far a road because you haven't gone through the stuff that I have to try to understand this. So,
right.
I try to be better at that. But
one of my, I don't know who quoted this, so I'm just going to paraphrase it all in general. But one of my favorite things I've heard was, "If you cannot explain something in its simplest form, you truly do not understand it yourself." And I think that it's just like that just popped in my head when you're saying that. Like, I already know this point C, but if you can't explain it in such a simple manner, it's like, do you really understand it yourself? I mean, it just popped in my head when you said that, so I thought I'd add that in because it's a really cool phrase.
You know, Jeff and I have discussed the Feynman quote where he says, if you can't give a freshman lecture on something, you don't understand it. If you can't, if you can't do that, then you don't understand it.
I agree with like the same exact thing with me in music theory. When I'm talking theory with most people who don't study music and are just music goers for pop culture, and it's like, oh, okay, well, I'm trying to go on to this theoretical stuff, and they're just okay.
Yeah.
Just like my girlfriend when she's going into her medical stuff. Yeah, all right, have fun. I don't know all that.
Yeah. You can get lost in that sometimes. Speaking of getting lost, let's see. So we covered that. How about these anti-vaxxers in the news?
The what?
Anti-vaxxers. Anti-vaccine people.
Oh, okay.
So recently,
I've heard of like
recently, you know, Donald Trump, a-hole that he is, started to, you know, talk about how bad vaccines are, and even smart people have done this. Mayim Bialik, whose actress, she was in Blossom, she's in The Big Bang Theory, she's a doctorate in some kind of chemistry. She is saying that she hasn't vaccinated her kids. So you can be smart and still be real stupid.
Well, I mean, if we're talking about the flu vaccination...
No.
I was going to say, I can agree with certain parts because the different flus react to different vaccinations just because you're getting that one... It's only one strand of the flu vaccination rather.
Three.
But still, there's more others that can attack. So I get where they're doing that. I personally don't get the flu vaccination, and I don't get the flu, and I'm perfectly fine. But if get the flu, then, well, shit, I'll deal with it.
Everyone should.
I'm young enough to where it won't kill me, and I'm old enough to where it won't kill me. So.
Everyone should get a flu vaccine, period, because for the same reason that everyone should get vaccines when they're young. And it's not just because what are your chances of getting disease. It's because it develops herd immunity. It develops when we're seeing things like measles and rubella making a comeback as diseases in major cities and even U.S. cities because people aren't getting vaccines, so there's not herd immunity. If other people around you don't have the disease, then you're a lot less likely to get the disease. That's herd immunity.
Right.
And so, I mean, just understanding that basic part of it is interesting. And of course, there's absolutely no link to autism whatsoever.
Yeah, but I'm not saying I agree. This isn't my views. I don't know all that much. But a lot of people also say, oh, it's a live vaccination. Isn't that what all vaccinations are?
No.
No. See, I'm ignorant of this subject, so I don't know.
Not all. The flu is not live.
The flu isn't?
There's a live one, the one that goes into your nose. That's a live one, but the one they inject is, you know, it's a dead virus.
Okay.
Just the pieces of virus.
Yeah.
With the proteins that build up antibodies. Your body, you know, your antibodies, white blood cells find them, build up antibodies, and they're just kind of like car parts, you know, of the virus.
I think the MMR one is the one that lots of parents aren't getting their kids vaccinated, and that's measles, mumps, and rubella. And you're supposed to get it when I think there are one. You would know more than that. There's two stages to it, right?
Yeah, there's. Yeah, it's like one in.
One and a half. I think it's 6 months.
Yeah, I think you're right. Something like 6 months later, yeah. Yeah, that's one of them. Yeah, I mean, I agree. I agree with you, right? And when you hear the CDC or doctors speaking, they're talking about the national health, right? You know, that's the goal. And so it's not a single person, really. It's this, you know, herd immunity type thing. You need to get wide immunity to these things, right, to keep them down, because they'll come back, you know.
And that's the reason to get the flu vaccine, too, is also herd immunity. It works that way, too.
That's why employers pay for flu shots, right? Because they want to keep the flu out of the office, because that costs a lot of money if a large portion of the office goes home sick. So that's why employers pay for flu shots. It's not so much to keep one person from getting the flu. It's to keep a bunch of people from spreading the flu and getting the flu.
It is possible to be a carrier and not actually suffer from the flu or not have much of a reaction to the flu, whereas other people would have a larger reaction. So it's always a good idea to get the flu shot. It's not going to hurt you. You may get a little bit of soreness for a day. That's it. It doesn't cause the flu.
I don't know if I can handle that. that's just too much.
People say that the flu shot makes them sick.
Yeah, that's...
It makes you feel run down, a slight bit run down, because when your white blood cells are working, it makes you feel a bit run down.
Then you bounce back. It can have that effect.
So, yeah, but everyone thinks that's the flu, that run down feeling.
Right.
That's nowhere near the flu.
Yeah, the flu is when you're in bed for 3 days or 4 days and throwing up and can't eat and that kind of thing. That's the flu. Flu sucks.
I wanted to say that I'm not sure if this is a true statement or not, but didn't the flu kill more people than throughout its entire...
In 1917 than World War One? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, it killed like more than the back... Like, over its entire lifetimes, killed more people than during like the bubonic plague. Or at least a similar amount of estimates.
It's probably the case.
Because I've heard that somewhere, but I don't want to throw that out there as like, oh yeah.
You just did.
No, but I gave the warning, like, I am not sure if this is true or not. Like I said previously, I don't know the subject strongly, so I kind of sit back and watch YouTube and just go, oh.
I mean, it's kind of hard to say, because Europe was ravaged by the Black Plague to an extent that's hard to
imagine. And also
imagine.
The fact that you can't really estimate back then. There were no documentations or anything like that.
But, like, they think somewhere around 3/4 of the population was killed by the Black Plague. That's a kind of category.
3/4? You mean 1/3?
No, I think it was 3/4.
1/3.
Only 1/3?
1/3.
I thought it was more than that. Still.
1/3, 2/3. 1/3. I'm pretty sure it was 1/3.
Pretty sure it was more than that, but...
Then we'll go 2/3. Someone go on Google. One of the two that have a computer, go on Google. Or Bing, if you
still,
prefer.
You know, even 30% of the population is a huge hit. A huge hit. A kind of cataclysmic type of hit.
What percent of the population died from the Black Plague?
Let's see if Siri has an answer. You had to Google. Try to Google voice it. See if.
Okay, I found this on the web.
All right. What does Siri say?
Bunch of Wikipedia pages.
I'm only getting 3G.
Looking to see if any of the summary here has a. You are in my basement.
30-75% is the estimate.
So.
So it could be either or. Exactly.
You're both right.
Exactly.
30-75%. So, but then the other ones are saying 30-40%. So obviously it's just saying we don't have documentation. We're just going to take a wild guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, because then I'm seeing other ones that are saying 30-40%. Oh, there's 1/3. 40-60%.
A lot of people.
Yeah. We're both right.
Speaking of autism, you see the revised down the autism rate It's now 1 in 68 children have autism or diagnosed on the spectrum.
Was it, and was
one
it
in,
higher?
1 in 40. It was 1 in 88. And then before that, it was 1 in 100. Yeah, so it got revised down again. I don't know. I feel that some of the diagnoses is, you know, would give you, me, and Nick all Asperger's, right?
So. I'm sure I'm on the spectrum.
I might have it. I don't know.
I have ADHD. I'm pretty sure I'm on the spectrum somewhere. But it's a spectrum. I mean, there's lots of different places. So I'm more on the empathetic variety than the other side. But what are you going to do? My brain, I already know I'm nuts and my brain is crazy.
I forget what they said. I forget what number they said, but they said South Korea has like a ridiculous amount of autism. Like,
there was just recently something that said that, you know, a study that, and you can never, one study never tells you anything, but no, something about how
usually multiples.
Studies indicate that this happens in the womb, not afterwards.
I mean, if they're talking about...
Let's see if I can look it up.
Like, yeah, I mean, most of the mental disorders and out there and everything with birth do come from the third trimester during brain development, but I'm sure majority of it does, but there's many other cases that can probably cause later on in life.
Here's an NPR story. Sorry. Here's an NPR story. The symptoms of autism may not be obvious until a child is a toddler, but the disorder itself appears to begin well before birth. From a research study in the New England Journal of Medicine. So, that would mean that vaccines don't have anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of makes sense to me in that it's a developmental disorder, so it's...
Yeah. What I mean. Most mental disorders do occur during, like I said, the third trimester during mental development, during brain development. And the same exact thing, if there's damage or if something that the carrier, the mothers, could be doing at the same exact time during either, I mean, if it's second trimester, there's most likely to be a physical impairment compared to third when then it's become mental. Oops, sorry.
It's okay. There's also so much weird information out there. Like, you know, for the longest time, they said don't drink at all during pregnancy. And now there's actually something to say,
drink wine.
Drink a glass of wine a week.
But then again, everything, but it's just seems like thing with everything. Everything comes in moderation.
Yeah.
Everything's deadly in some sort of sense when it comes to overloading.
You know, there's also, people think that there's a reason why there's so many peanut allergies and things like that is because people aren't exposing their kids to things when they're young.
Yeah, when they're young.
And therefore they get hypersensitive to it.
Well, good thing my mom lived off of peanut butter and jelly. Worked out for me.
I did want to talk a little bit about dreams.
Okay.
Can we play Silent Lucidity by Queensryche while we do this?
No. We don't have the rights to it.
Can we call it like slightly loud lucidity and change one note?
No,
that works in all the music books.
Even so, I'd have to punch you. Don't like that song.
So I was having a dream... I think it was Tuesday night or something, but in this dream I heard a song that I thought was beautiful and amazing,
which is unusual for you,
and I also in some way was presented with a joke that was so funny to me that I laughed out loud and actually woke up.
Do you remember the joke?
No, I don't remember the joke. Nor do I remember the song.
That might have been the funniest joke ever.
It wasn't that funny of a joke, but it was funny. I remember that it was just, it was funny because of how out of place and how just perfect for the moment it was. It wasn't just like it was a funny joke. But the point being that, you know, okay, so here's my conscious mind seeing stuff that it thinks that it doesn't, that it's not doing. Hearing this musical song being composed or whatever it is and getting a joke seemingly out of the ether. It makes sense to me that people for a long time thought that dreams and other experiences like this were portals to something unknown, because you think your conscious mind doesn't have access to this stuff, right? You think that's coming from elsewhere, because you think your conscious mind is in control of everything you're doing. But clearly, what's happening is not my mind is in control. There's stuff going on in my mind. Something that's making music. It's just part of my mind that my conscious mind isn't, and it interprets that. It's not coming from outside.
Yeah.
The joke wasn't coming from outside.
But it's coming from memories of experiences, and then it just twists them and changes them and combines them and creates its own.
But the thing is that, you know, I know people who think that that's, you know, there's a spiritual component to creativity.
Yeah.
And, you know, that you're grasping onto something out of the ether. But you're not really.
No. Well,
you're just, you, the bit of you that thinks it's in control of this mound of flesh also thinks it's in control of everything you're thinking. But that's not the case. It's a little tippy top of something that is diluted. It's a diluted piece of you that thinks it's in control when it's not. It's a little pilot that thinks it controls the engineering system.
I mean, it's the same thing with the whole dreaming thing, where they're talking about how you see a face sometimes in a dream that you swear you've never seen them in your entire life, but unconsciously during the day, you might have walked past them on a sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
You don't notice it consciously, but you're taking in everything else.
It's like when you're playing Wii Baseball, right? And those characters that are on the other team are real Wii people from out on the internet.
I don't know.
Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, like, so when you create your Wii Me, right? Your little Wii guy. That person, you, are on other people's Wiis playing baseball.
Okay.
So
they take the Wii Me's you create are just put into the pool of random faces, and when you play like Wii Baseball, right? There's all the Wii Me's that you have on your Wii, right? They're on the like two
that's
on
if
each
you're connected
team.
Online.
Whoa.
Well, you can't. Yeah, obviously.
I mean, obviously, because I mean, if my Wii's not connected online, so whenever it does it,
it's magic.
Right, I made an obvious statement. I apologize, but I was thinking out loud. It took me a moment.
Sorry, I didn't mean to hijack the whole conversation. I was just saying it's like the you know, someone else's Wii Me is on my Wii. It's just like the face you just saw on the street is in your dream, starring in your dream. Right?
That seems to me to be just an easy way to grab essentially randomize things with, you know, just to, mm-hmm. okay, you the data's available, just grab it and throw it out there, mm-hmm. instead of having a computer randomize the possibility, even though there can't be that many possibilities for Wii's, right? For Wii Me's, right? I mean, for a computer to do it, just boop, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. I don't know. I never independently verified, did packet traces to make sure that the Wii Me's were coming down, but that is what I had read at one point, that if I like Wii Sports and whatnot, the Wii Me's are shared.
Speaking of crazy odds, it's March Madness right now. And did you see the Warren Buffett thing?
Nope.
Warren Buffett said that he would give $1 billion to anybody who gave a correct bracket, 100% correct bracket. Now, everyone failed. So, and there's no reason for him to expect anyone would would do it, because the chance of doing it is slim, like one in several quadrillion. It's, and that's assuming just 50-50
mm-hmm.
chances. So it's a very hard thing to do. So it's one of the easiest things he ever did. Apparently he for some reason he managed to get $100,000 by doing it. I don't know how it all worked, but just an easy way.
Sponsorships.
Yeah, offer $1 billion for something you know is not going to happen. You get $100,000 for it. Chump change.
Sounds easier than winning the lottery.
It is. No, it's less easy.
I said was it sounds easier.
Yeah. Lottery is only one in several hundred million.
Got to play to win. I don't play, so. My odd is zero.
That's true. But I thought it was interesting, you know, that why not offer $1 billion for a bracket? And,
You said data earlier, and that just clicked what we were talking about protesting, and it was phone companies. and phone what they're companies. Doing with daddy. So it was not the government, so I apologize for everyone who is listening.
And it's all tied together.
I know, I just got like three flags on my name.
We can talk about that later. So yeah, Game of Thrones is coming up. New season.
Tomorrow?
No.
Isn't? I thought it was. I don't know. I don't watch TV much.
I don't think it's tomorrow. I think it's next. I think it's the week after. So it's like the 6th. The Community G.I. Joe episode is coming next week.
Okay.
I'm in a whole other place right now. I don't know any of this.
Let's see.
I watched a couple Rick and Morty's this week.
Uh-huh.
Some good stuff in there.
It is. Isn't it great?
Some good stuff in there. I watched the Innerspace one where they shrunk down.
Oh, okay. Anatomy Park, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And what was the one before that? Is that the pilot? I don't know. The first one I watched that night was really good. It was, I think when the dogs got sentient. I think that's
Lawnmower
the
Dog, yeah. That was a great one.
That was pretty.
Where are my testicles, Summer? Got to show you this.
I might have watched a third one, but
the Meeseeks one?
We watched that one.
Yeah.
Here.
Hi, Mr. Meeseeks. Look at me.
Where are my testicles?
Yeah, it's a great show. Rick and Morty is a fantastic show. Really one of my favorite shows. Definitely my favorite new show of the year. Probably one of my favorite animated shows in a long, long time. Good stuff.
Good stuff.
Want to get onto the show now?
Sure.
Talk about my other stuff later.